First of all, two comments. Once a year, here at St. Michael's, we go bilingual. We sing not only in English, we also sing two parts of the Mass in Latin, the Holy, Holy, and the Lamb of God. Latin has been very much a part of our history over the centuries, and so once a year, the hymns are posted 8:46 and 8:50 if you don't know the words by heart. That's about as bilingual as we get here on the Hill. Secondly, yesterday's mail would have included, for many of us, a letter from Bishop Mark asking for our participation in this year's Catholic Ministries Drive. Pastors have not received parish goals at this point for this year. I can't imagine that our goal this year will be any less than our target was last year, which was around $47,000. Eventually, we'll let you know what our parish goal is going to be. When one of my brothers returned home from having served in Vietnam, for a while, it wasn't uncommon for our sleep to be disturbed by his having flashbacks and horrible nightmares. Persons involved in healthcare, both physical and mental health, especially at military hospitals or working with veterans, know that the side effects of a traumatic experience can be rather significant and devastating, in some cases temporarily, in other cases for a lifetime. We've just heard one of the more troubling, more traumatic stories in the Bible. It's traditionally called the binding of Isaac. After having received their long-awaited son, Abraham then receives a message from God to offer the boy as a burnt offering. As we heard this morning, at the last minute, God intervenes, but not before it's very clear to Isaac and to us who are listening to the story that Abraham is ready to go through with the ritual. Although Abraham is praised for his fidelity and Isaac goes free, it really isn't a feel-good ending. In fact, some biblical scholars say that rabbinic tradition connects the death of Sarah in the next chapter to her shock, the trauma she went through observing that event. Other ancient traditions, not in the Bible, claim that Isaac might have spoken forever with a stutter because he was so traumatized by what was going to take place. There are often consequences to trauma. And biblical scholars have tried to interpret the event. Perhaps the story deals with the prohibition of child sacrifice. Perhaps the story is a parable about Abraham's passionate fidelity. Perhaps the story was never intended to be in the Bible in the first place. But it is. And by the time of Jesus, the emphasis would have been on a mostly unnoticed detail of the story. Isaac, young Isaac, was a willing victim. He's able to cooperate. An heroic person willing to die a martyr's death. Isaac was willing to offer himself for the sake of the covenant. And the Jewish folks at the time of Jesus would have appreciated Isaac's courageous willingness to sacrifice himself for the sake of the nation. For us, as we gather for Eucharist, Jesus is Isaac, offering himself for the good of us all. The Son of Man is gloriously transfigured because of his perfect obedience. Jesus is bound to the cross, but his self-offering led not only to his glory, but our glory as well. As you know, the word transfiguration includes two words. The first word, trans, which means a bridge through or a passage through, and figure that refers to the body of Jesus. A few of the apostles on that mountaintop were able to see through the body of Jesus the glory and the majesty of God. The body of Jesus is the bridge between ourselves and God. The cross of Christ is the bridge for us to God. And throughout these days of Lent, we who are baptized, when we bless ourselves with the sign of the cross, it's a mark of who we are, disciples of the Lord Jesus. It's a mark of pain, but also a mark of promise. The cross marks an agony, but it also marks God's acceptance. The cross, a symbol of horror, but also our reason for hope. The cross, a sign of loneliness, but also the reason for our communion. And in the end, we are told, there is only Jesus. We live within pretty crowded lives, lots of people, lots to do, and lots of voices. When was the last time it was just you and Jesus? Time alone, private time. When was the last time in prayer we simply invited the Lord to speak to us? When was the last time we offered ourselves in sacrifice for the good of another person? And at a time when some folks can be so against us, it's important for us, like St. Paul, to be absolutely convinced that God is for us. And proof of God's favor is his willingness to accept the self-sacrifice of his only Son. This non-gloomy season of Lent, in spite of the rain, this non-gloomy season of Lent is a noble time for us to live courageously and generously. It's good for us to be here. Here, we hear and see a glimpse of glory. And the Transfigured One has invited us to follow him, sacrificing ourselves bit by bit for the good of a covenant that never, ever ends. Self-sacrifice by teachers and coaches was evident a little over a week ago at a school in Florida. Heroic self-sacrifice is evident in the lives of local and state police officers. International groups like Doctors Without Borders are laying down their lives. And persecuted Christians throughout the world are living heroic lives of self-sacrifice. And our acts of self-sacrifice during Lent, our self-giving, without fanfare, without drawing attention to ourselves, can help another person feel the goodness of God. You see, our encounters with Jesus are intended to be shared. We can't afford to keep the matter to ourselves.